doesn't pay attention to the goodness of God. There was a grandmother is watching her grandson, her grandchild, playing on the beach. When a huge wave comes and take him out to sea, she pleads, "Please, God, save my only grandson. I beg of you, bring him back." And all of a sudden, a big wave comes up, washing the boy back onto the beach. As good as he wasn't hurt or injured or anything. She looks up to heaven and says, "He had a hat." People are really like that. God performed a miracle in their midst, and they didn't see it. They're rather concerned about the hat rather than the boy's life. Have you all ever, I know I did, didn't like a food growing up? I wouldn't dare partake of a certain food because of the way it looked and because of the way it just smelled when you cook it. And then one day, and everybody else trying to encourage you to taste it. You said, "No, I'm eating that mess." And one day you just just picked it up and tasted it. And you found out that, this is not bad. It was really good. And you started from that day on enjoying that food, whatever it was. The title of my message this morning is coming from Psalm 38. 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Psalm 107 and 1, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Psalm 45 and 9. "The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works." Then, of course, Psalm 34 and 8, "Oh, taste and see that good." Amen. "How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Amen. You would think that saying how good the Lord is would be easy. But you know, after reading, and it took some reading, it's a whole lot of information describing really how good God is. When you try to give a definition to the goodness of God, if you ever tried it, try it. It's not easy at all. God's goodness is the answer to the question, is this a friendly world, a friendly universe? The answer is yes. When you come to the end of our thinking, we find that behind the universe, the vastness of this world, this universe, stands a God who cares about what he has made. We begin with a simple observation from Romans. You may write these down. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? What's interesting about that statement, right after or before that statement, Paul spoke a damning indictment of the entire human race. It's coming from Romans 1, verses 18 through 32. If you take time, read those verses. I'm going to just pick just a few of them, just to let you know what Paul was saying. He says, Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from the heavens against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Verse 19, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them. for God made it evident to them. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. Now go down to verse 32. And although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also they heartily approval to those who practice them. I would say Paul was just a little bit upset. He reminds them that they are just as bad as the heathen, and they have no excuse. God always punishes sinners, but sometimes his judgment is delayed so that men will have time to repent. In other words, every breath taken by an unsaved man is a sign of God's goodness. It's meant to lead him step by step to repentance and faith. I'm going to give you, talking about the unsaved, I'm going to give you 10 specific ways God is good to the unsaved. Number one, by creating them knowing that they would rebel. Seven times in Genesis, God looked at his creation and said, it's good. In Genesis 1:31, the last time he looked over his creation and said, it was very good. Yet God knew that man would turn away from him. Shortly, the peace and joy of paradise will be broken by Adam's foolish sin. Paradise gained soon becomes paradise lost. God knew what Eve would do. God knew what Adam would do. He knew all the pain that would result from their sin. He foresaw the long stream of suffering that poured and flowed out of Eden that produces the world to this very day. Yet seeing all of this and knowing all of this, he created man anyway. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have done that. Ms. Lottie, you say you would? No, I wouldn't have done that. I don't believe no one here would have done that. We often say God is good, which is true. But just to say it limits our thinking to us. We know from God's point of view that the human race, I don't care how vast it is only divided into two groups, and they are the lost and the saved. Either you are estranged from God because of your sin, or you are saved and your sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ's blood. The question is, would you create a race knowing it would turn away from you, rebel against you, reject you, would violently kill your son? I don't think you would do that. Number two, now I'm going to tell you, it's a whole lot more to this, but I'm not going to be here till tomorrow this time. I won't give you just enough to give you a deeper thought of how good God really is. This is just to the unsaved. I haven't gotten on your saved yet. Number two, by sustaining them in spite of their continued rebellion. Exodus 34:6 tells us that God is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. God would have been justified to slay Adam and Eve the moment they sinned. But Luke 6:35 reminds us that he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Number three, God poured out common grace upon them. Still talking about the unsaved. Which means that general blessings God gives to men regardless of their spiritual state. In book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 45 tells us that he causes the sun to rise and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Number 4. He puts a desire for God inside of every human heart. Romans 1:18-20. It speaks of the loss. It describes the knowledge of God seen in creation and found to some degree in the heart of every person. And also I'd like to add, in the beginning, when God created man, he breathed into man. And he became a living soul. That breath is in every human being. Number 5. By hearing the prayers of the saved for the lost, we find God's goodness that the lost don't realize it and probably don't appreciate it when they learn about it. God is good to the unsaved by allowing the saved to pray for them. Many of us who are in the kingdom of God now, we sing the song, "My mother prayed for me." Somebody prayed for you. While you were yet sinners, are living and walloping in your sin, somebody prayed for you. It's from the goodness of God, by you being unsaved, God allows someone saved to pray for you. Number 6. By allowing them to see God's power at work in them, in the lives of the saved. In the book of Daniel 3:25, y'all remember Nebuchadnezzar? He ordered all those present to bow down before the golden statue. But you had 3 Hebrew boys. They refused. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. Y'all know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and I was going to say a bad billy goat, but Abednego. They looked and saw in the furnace and saw 4 men, and one of them looked like the Son of God. The king had the 3 men brought to him immediately, and he saw that they were unhurt, unburnt, unscarred. He publicly praised the God of Israel, saying that he sent his angels to rescue his servants who trusted in him. Now I tell you, is God good? Number 7. By allowing them to share his blessings to his own children. We talked about this in Bible study this past Thursday. Remember Joseph? After he was sold to the Midianites? Well, we stayed on that a while, didn't we? Sold to the Midianites and later sold to Potiphar. But God's hand was upon Joseph, and he rose in power to become administrator of all Potiphar's household. At the end of the story, we see that God blessed the entire household of Joseph because of Joseph's account. We see the unsaved receiving blessings simply from the presence of the saved person in their midst. Number 8. By using them to accomplish his purposes. Now, God often uses the unsaved to further his purposes in the world. Remember Pharaoh, whose heart was hardened by God? But because of that, it led to the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt. And that's found in Exodus 5:13. Number 9. By inviting them to salvation and making provisions through Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel 18:23, it tells us that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. In 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Last but not least, number 10, by answering their prayers for mercy when they cry out in Jesus' name. Here is one final proof of God's goodness to the lost. He not only makes provisions for their salvation, he not only invites them to be saved, but when they cry out in Jesus' name for mercy, he hears them and saves them. Just like the thief on the cross, he was saved after a lifetime of criminal activity. He was saved. Now, wouldn't you say that God is good even to the unsaved? But just the unsaved. What about those who are saved? Number one, by giving us eternal life the moment we believe. John 6:47 tells us that he who believes has everlasting life. Amen. Number two, by giving us immediate access through prayer. Hebrews 4:6. It talks about coming boldly to the throne of God of grace, where we can find grace to help in the nick of time. Amen. Number three, by answering our prayers, but not all of them. I says by answering our prayers, but not all of them. And I heard Ms. Archer, let me explain a little bit about that. Remember Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, or should I say 2 Corinthians? Three times, Paul prayed that the thorn in the flesh would be removed. Three times, God says no. Then the Lord spoke directly and explained his refusal. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Then in 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul boasts in his weakness, that God's strength may be seen in his life. Isn't that something? God is good. Even when he says no, he is good. Number four, by giving ultimate purpose to the worst tragedies of life. Romans 8:28. And this is one we like to say. All things work together, I believe, for the good. He said all things. This is a tough one. God is good when the sun is shining. But I don't know how good he is when the rain starts to fall. God, he blessed me with this. I heard all the testimonies this morning. Every time I hear a testimony, show me how God is, how good he is when things are good happening to you, when things are big. But I bless God for my sister here. When God says, no, it was a time of heartache. It was a time of, oh, Lord. But God was still good. But that's a tough one for people. Romans 8:29 tells us that good is that we should be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you a little bit of consolation, a little bit. Anything makes us like Jesus is good. This gives an entirely new perspective to heartaches, heartbreaks, and tragedies. They are part of God's plan to chip away little by little at our character until Jesus is fully formed in us. So this gives us a new perspective. Number five, by disciplining us when we begin to stray into sin. Now, like any good father that's raising your children, we discipline them because we love them, but we want them to be disciplined now. And second part, we want them to grow into good, mature adults. Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6 reminds us that those whom the Lord loves, he chastens. God's discipline is precisely because we are his children. Number 6, by uniting us with Christ in his resurrection life. Again, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone and the new has come. To be in Christ means to be joined with Jesus himself in his resurrection life. Number 7. By giving us a reason to rejoice when the world turns against us. That doesn't need too much explaining. That was sort of, you know what that means. Number 8, by giving hope for the future so that we have nothing to fear at the moment of death. Now, what does all this mean? We often say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. He really is. God is good whether we see it or not. God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Yes. Number 9, his love is good. If you are saved, give thanks to God, for he is good. If you are lost, which is the title of this message, O taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, we have no reason to doubt. I don't care what we see. We understand through that being saved what God does. He is good. So when we pray for our family members, that's a thing of God. He said that's good. But he is good to perform and answer our prayers. I don't care what your family members look like. I don't care what your friends look like, what they're involved in, or how deep sin. Like, when I pray for them, it looks like they go deeper, deeper, and deeper into their sin. But that's not for you to determine. You can't say, and a lot of times we make a mistake, you get in our face, you're going straight to hell as fast as we can get you there. But we don't know. The thief on the cross, I mean, up until he was nailed to the cross, he lived a terrible, sinful, crying for life. And what Jesus say? This day, you will be with me in paradise. And I just thank you how we prayed in the morning at 5 in the morning. We pray, and Linda, you know, y'all know my aunt had just passed. And we were praying. And Linda prayed something one morning. She said, we're praying for that the Lord will soften her heart, that she will understand and just surrender her life. It's something that we wanted to know. And shortly thereafter, she was in a pretty much a comatose state for a good little while. And all of a sudden, she came out of it. Didn't talk about the pain. She was in the right mind. She said she'd been with God. God told her no. She had to go back and tell others that she was all right. See, this thing is real. God is good. We have no reason to speak against the goodness of our Lord. And he just wants you to know in every aspect of your life, saved or unsaved, God is good and his mercies endure forever. Shortly thereafter, a couple of days after, she passed away. But during that time of her consciousness, her son said that was the first time he ever heard her mother pray. She prayed for him, she prayed for her, she prayed for Linda, she prayed for her sister, everybody that was in the room said she prayed for. That's nothing but God. It's letting us know today in this world that we live in, and I tell you, for God sometimes use unsaved people to get us to the place that he wants us. And that is, today is no different. We have to turn our lives to Christ. And I think, I don't care who's in the White House, doesn't matter. Where you think they're saved, unsaved, doesn't matter. But if he's unsaved, God has a purpose for him. And it's good. It's marvelous in his sight. Whether we see it or not, whether we can see it or not, it's in God's hands. If he allowed it, his perfect purpose, his plan for our lives individually is going to be blessed. I thought about that when I thought about Pharaoh. Man, Pharaoh was a hard-headed, stubborn mule. All of these miracles. See, God says 400 years and no longer will you keep my people in bondage because of things that they did. But he kept them 400 years and wanted to keep them longer. So Moses, he couldn't speak. He wasn't eloquent of speech. He couldn't do this. But God used him anyway. Went to Pharaoh, plague on top of plagues. And then when your water turned to blood, man, ain't nobody can crucify that many animals and throw them in the water to turn everything into blood. Something should have sparked in that young man's heart before it got that part far. But when your firstborn dies, and you see this big bird, that's the God that they were worshiping. He puts his son. But see, the Lord hardened his heart. He couldn't change if he wanted to at that point. But the purpose was to set his people go, to let them free out of Egypt, to Exodus from Egypt into the land, toward the land, flowing with milk and honey. God blessed him because God hardened this man, this unsaved man's heart. But God is good because he did that. He was good in Pharaoh's heart, but Pharaoh was hard-headed. He wasn't going to change. God knew he wasn't going to change, but he still gave him an opportunity. God is good. Only thing we have to see is taste and see that the Lord is good. And I think there's another psalm that says his word is sweeter than the sugar of sweetness of a honeycomb. God is good. Whether it's tragedy or not, God is good. Whether it's about allowing stuff, and so many people, I mean, since I'm being where I am doing today, they come in and God is good one day and they come in the next day and something happened. And all of a sudden, God can't handle that. Where was God? Where were you when this happened? Why did you allow this to happen? That's what they say. But good things, bad things happen to good people. But now we understand why. But that doesn't say, the only thing I can tell him, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what's happening in your life, but God is good. Now I can tell him why he is good. Because he allowed you to wake up this morning to breathe, to give you another opportunity to receive him and stop being so stupid. God is good. You say he's awesome. Anytime that a man know what he created was going to do and kill his own son, he still did it anyway. I'm so glad for the Jews' rebellion, because that wasn't God's plan too. So us Gentiles can be a part of God's family. God is good. That's why he said pray for Israel. And I pray for them every day to uphold them, to keep them, to protect them. But God's word is good because he said the last will become first and the first will become last. And Egypt's going to be saved because that's in God's word. We don't care, look at how many Jews we, you know, we pray. Sometimes we say, Lord, touch the leader of that country's heart to bring about a spirit-filled presence of you, Lord, so they can be saved. But they're going to be saved whether that leader is in it or not. Amen. I've learned so much. And I tell you, if you study the goodness of God, and that will solve a lot of our problems. A lot of issues going on, but God is still good. Amen. A lot of financial things happen all at the same time sometimes, but God is still good. He makes ways out of no way. He opens doors no man can open. He closes doors that no man can close. If God be for you, he is more than the whole world against you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day.